Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on tonight, buddy?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just packing and getting ready for my trip down to Nashville for Beachbody Summit. It's the conference for the 23,000 coaches that are going to be down there, myself included. Going to spend some time at the Titans football field tomorrow and then some time at the Music City Center and the Bridgestone Arena then Friday and Saturday before coming home on Sunday. So this is a great event. It's fun. It's a lot of very inspiring people that are going to be there, even as if not more inspiring than me. For those that don't know my story, I have lost almost at the 100-pound mark lost. Probably another week or two I'll be there. Reason I'm not there yet because I am putting on some muscle, and obviously, if you put on some muscle, the scale is going to grow a little bit. But as I was saying yesterday, I think it was, or the day before, regarding Eddie Lacy, the numbers on the scale is just that, a number. Don't overreact to what that number says. Also, I'm excited because Country Heat has been won. It's been a program created by Autumn Calabrese, the creator of 21 Day Fix, and it is now available. You can get the challenge pack today. You can have some fun dancing off the pounds. And, I've done a couple of the routines in this program, and it is fun and it is easy, and you're going to sweat and you're going to shed the pound by doing it. I highly recommend this program. I'm going to be getting it myself very soon. And I'm going to be doing it once I'm done with my Insanity Max 30 program I'm doing now. But I strongly recommend you give it a try. And if you have any questions, shoot me an email, coachevan66@gmail.com. That's coachevan66@gmail.com. So throw it back to you, Troy. And I'm sure you're probably scratching your head wondering why I'm so excited about a dancing program. I like dancing workout programs now. I don't know. I'm just weird like that. But anyways, how are you doing today, Troy?
Yeah, doing good. I saw that you had shared that via the Red Light Sports Network. And I'm thinking back, the minute that I sent it out, I remember one of the interviews we did with the Hobbs sisters. That's what came to mind when you shared that. But I'll tell you what, if dancing is your thing, you want to exercise, why not exercise and lose weight and have fun doing it? So whatever way that you need to motivate yourself to work out, find it. And so I think it's great. Hey, if that's the workout of choice, Evan, then so be it. But, I saw that you had shared that link, and, I definitely, I support the weight loss. It is one thing that is very near and dear to the Red Light Sports Network. And, and we always talk about sports and all the things going on, but, you've done your journey for health reasons. And unfortunately, across the United States, there, in my mind, is a problem with obesity. And so being able to work out, get healthy, it's one of those things, then you can attest to it. I've heard you talk about it many times. The weight that you put on, the extra weight, can also have huge health implications. And so getting healthy is definitely something that everybody should look forward to, and, for health reasons. I mean, it's huge. But with that said, buddy, we've got a great show tonight. We've got Major League Baseball, non-waiver trade deadline right around the corner, and day two of Packers training camp. It's awesome. It's a good time of the year. Not a whole lot of stories and we had talked about that, that, you know, no news is good news for Green Bay Packer fans in training camp. They just need to go in and do what they need to do. But we'll start there. We'll start in training camp. I know we want to talk about it's early so far, but 2 days into camp, you know, what's the report?
Yeah, well, some thumbs up and thumbs down for today. Brent Hundley, he is learning from Aaron Rodgers. He got a few of the players that jump off sides give us a free play. Hundley, he's definitely learning. He's definitely observing Rodgers and absorbing what he is being taught. So it's great seeing Hundley continue to develop. Jeff Janis, not so good of a practice today. He had two passes to him that went intercepted. One of them two passes that were thrown to him. One was incomplete. The other was intercepted. The intercepted one, he completely messed up the route. He cut it in to try to cut in front of Sam Shields and said the ball sailed over his head right in the Shields' hands. And the other one, Rodgers is expecting Janis to do a back shoulder sideline route, and Janis didn't. He didn't cut off the route, just kept running the route. So Janis, not really great camp so far, but it's still early. One guy, Charlie, that is having a very strong camp is the rookie receiver, Davis, the one they just took out of Cal. Trevor Davis, he's having a great camp so far. He's making a lot of plays. He had a big one-handed catch yesterday, and he's showing that he's running some good routes. He's catching the ball well. He's returning, working on returning punts. He's just making some big plays in camp so far. And I thought this when the Packers drafted Trevor Davis. I believe I mentioned it on the show. If I didn't, I don't know why I didn't, but I believe Trevor Davis was drafted to push Jeff Janis. Because he's a speedster. He's a guy that can get up, can go over the top of the defense. That's why I think they drafted Davis. And if Janis doesn't take huge stride forward this year, I think Davis is going to take his roster spot. And I know Packer fans, a lot of Packer fans that will be very mad and upset about that. But if you're not getting it done, define things to the receiver position, then you don't need to be on the team. I don't think Davis was drafted because of Devontae Adams or to push Jared Abadara. He was drafted to push Janis. And right now, I know it's early, but it's Davis wowing people and Janis showing why I'm not 100% bought in on him yet. Other plays of note, looking over Tom Silverstein's article talking about practice. Mike Daniels, he chased Cobb 25 yards down the field, and they ran back to the sideline. He came close to chasing Cobb down from behind, just showing you just how explosive Daniels is. He is going to be very explosive. But so far, Packers stressing a lot of urgency. Mike McCarthy was talking urgency at his press conference today after practice, that the players are starting to see the urgency. Some that McCarthy hasn't talked about very often during his tenure. Bill Michaels was talking on the Bill Michaels show earlier today about that. And it's true. I don't remember Mike McCarthy, Troy, ever really pressing – urgency during his tenure. So it's definitely interested to hear him say that. So, Bill, back to you. What were your thoughts on training camp, and what are your thoughts with Mike McCarthy talking about urgency moving forward this season?
I'll start there. Yay, caught my hands. If I could jump up and down and say woo-hoo, I would. It's about time. I mean, as much as you want to downplay it, it is about urgency. You look at this Packer offense and this Packer team, Evan, it is a team, and urgency has a number of phases to it. But urgency, up-tempo, things of that nature, and doing things quickly while making good decisions, I think it's something that definitely needs to be stressed to be able to put the sense of urgency in. I want to throw out there, you know, especially with the way that the schedule is. It was on NFL Network this morning, and, you know, the easiest schedule in the NFL. I mean, now, granted, you got to go out and play every week. I don't think they're going 16-0, but they have a very favorable schedule. And granted, they still have months of training camp, and health is a big, big reason why you win. But urgency is definitely something, and I don't want to say it's been lacking, but I just want to say that to know that it's on the forefront and to know that that's the message, maybe then the whole roster gets it. You know, so woohoo, congratulations, Mike McCarthy. And, you know, I'm going to throw this out there lightheartedly. Mike McCarthy really does not care about fashion statements, does he, Evan? I mean, I've seen pictures of Mike McCarthy. I'm like, what is going on with Mr. McCarthy? I saw a picture from day one of training camp, and I'm first thinking it cannot be 40 degrees out, and you're out in, like, full suit, green, everything, and then you've got whatever you got going on as far as that facial hair goes. But I don't know. It's Mr. McCarthy, and so be it. He gets the job done and getting it done, and I like his message. Let's put it that way. I'm happy that that is the message moving forward. Touch on the drafting of a receiver, and I think, Evan, you know, you mentioned Janis specifically, and I would agree, but I'd also throw in that the Packers are drafting people at that position year in and year out that will push each other. And I think that's why they've had good receivers. And we've had this conversation. Green Bay drafts receivers that fit their system. And that's why the receivers are so good. And I'll stick to that. Those are my guns, and I'm going to stick right there, because I had mentioned it the other night when you called and you had a run across the dead zone for a little bit, and we talked about which receivers have left Green Bay to be successful, and there's not a lot of them. But I think Green Bay drafts well at the wide receiver position, brings people in, and to touch on your point, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're going to get pushed to the limit and you're not going to perform, you're not going to be one of the guys. And Green Bay has no problem with that. And they just keep replenishing the position with draft picks. And it's nice to see. It would be nice if they could start doing that at some other positions. But a wide receiver, I don't know if it is a great scouting opportunity at wide receiver position, but they do a great job drafting talent and bringing talent in to get good receivers that will, you know, go through and at some point get their money. And so be it. If they want to leave Green Bay for greener pastures, so be it. And, we've had this discussion. So when I look at that and I look at that wide receiver position, I'm excited about it, Evan. I know Janis is off to a slow start and the rookie's off to a blazing start. That can add some pressure to Jeff Janis. And we'll see if he can handle it. Maybe he can't. Maybe he'll crumble under the pressure. This is a business at the end of the day. And you perform or you go home. And again, at the end of the day, Evan, if final cuts come out and all of a sudden Mr. Davis, the rookie's on the roster, and Jeff Janis gets cut, and Packer fans may hate me right now, so be it. That's the way it is. That's the way the world works. I will put it this way. I have not argued many roster cuts when it comes to the final moves over the course of time with Green Bay. Now, very few. And if there is many, I can't remember any off the top of my head, but I could probably count them on one hand. They're going to take the players that are going to produce, that are going to help this team win a Lombardi Trophy, a team that's going to get to the playoffs. They've been there. and it's about winning the Lombardi. They're a continual playoff team, and they've got to keep building that roster to have the best players, top to bottom, talking starters, top to bottom, that are going to help them win the Lombardi Trophy. And so what are your thoughts there, Evan? Because I probably made a statement that some people are going to say that I'm crazy and that I should not be just wiping Jeff Janis to the side of the road. But what I'm saying is if he gets outplayed in training camp, Evan, I'm not going to boo-hoo that Jeff Janis does not make the roster. What about you?
Hey, I'm not going to boo-hoo either. If he gets outperformed and somebody beats him out for the roster spot, so be it. It's about competition. It's about the best 53 guys making the roster at the end of training camp. That's what it's about. And if he's not one of the best 53 after training camp's over, so be it. Best of luck to him for whoever signs him. And I don't think he would last too long before somebody scoops him up. I like Janis. I think Janis, he seems to be a good person. He's a very good athlete. He just needs to pick up learning the playbook for the Packers. That's what he needs to do. That's his big struggle. So I don't think there's going to be a bunch of Packer fans that are going to be, but Janis, it's Janis. But the thing is, like I said, if he's not one of the best 53 at the end of training camp, like I said, so be it. Best of luck. But, moving on, Troy, this is something I found very interesting today. So the Los Angeles Rams, they granted Nick Foles his request for release today. The funny thing is if they wouldn't release him in March, it would have saved them $6 million. But they didn't release him in March. They wait until July 27th to release him. And here's what I kind of find funny. So the New York Jets are at a standstill with Ryan Fitzpatrick. They, Fitzpatrick wants, I think it was 15, 16 million over, million a year over 3 years, something like that. And the Rams are like, no, we'll give you 8 or 9 million over, per year over 3 years. He didn't want that. He wanted 15. And then mere hours after Nick Foles gets granted his release, Ryan Fitzpatrick signs a 1-year deal with the Jets for $12 million guaranteed, with he could potentially earn up to $15 million with incentive and bonuses mm-hmm. and whatnot. I don't see that as a coincidence, Trot. I don't see that at all. I see Fitzpatrick's camp saw what happened, so they went to the Jets and said, this is what we're willing to play for. And they ended up obviously agreeing on the contract. So that's my thought on it. And I'm not a big fan of Fitzpatrick. I don't think Fitzpatrick is very good. I think he had a very good year with a couple good receivers. And he may have a good season once again, being now they got Matt Forte at the fold. But to me, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not a $12 million quarterback. So what are your thoughts on the whole situation with Nick Foles and Ryan Fitzpatrick and then the Jets and them quickly coming to an agreement?
It's not a coincidence. No way is it a coincidence, Evan. Nick Foles on the market. I guarantee Fitzpatrick's agent went to his ear and said, you're signing a deal now. Because if you don't, they're going to sign Nick Foles and you're not going to have a job because nobody else wants you. If you're that good of a quarterback, you would have been scooped up months ago. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Evan, is a journeyman quarterback. He played with Pro Bowl wide receivers. He had a running game and he had a killer defense. Honestly, the Jets can win with any quarterback. The Jets would have had the same record with any quarterback. Now, I'm really on a roll tonight, so people can hate me and say whatever they want, but Ryan Fitzpatrick won in this deal. $12 million guaranteed, he's not a $12 million quarterback. No way. Not a $12 million quarterback. You had Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, you got a running game, you got a great defense. And honestly, you better go out and do what you did last year, otherwise you're not going to have a job next year. The Jets got a, I guess the Jets, Evan, from a standpoint, did not get locked into a long-term deal, and that's good for them. I was waiting to see them make a huge mistake and give Fitzpatrick a 3-4 year deal, you know, worth about $50 million, and that would have been a mistake. Patrick is a journeyman quarterback who happened to catch lightning in a bottle in my mind. And how can you not? You have a good receiving core. I like Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. I think they're two good receivers. And I just think Ryan Fitzpatrick, we're talking about Packer receivers in the system. Fitzpatrick fit well in the system. That's the only marriage for Fitzpatrick in the NFL right now. And so be it. If this is the spot for him where he can actually over-exceed the player that he is, good for him. But I also think the Jets won with a one-year deal. And $12 million for a starting quarterback, Evan, that's not breaking the bank. But I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick is a $12 million quarterback, so he won on that end. But I really would call it, like, to be honest, a stalemate. Both parties win in this deal. Patrick got paid more than he'll ever get paid, and the Jets are only locked in for 1 year. And so then they can look at this next year, and they can look at their options. And honestly, they should start looking now. If I were the Jets, I would start looking across the NFL at some of the top backups in the league and see who may be available. Because I don't see Fitzpatrick longevity-wise being able to keep doing what he did. So that's my thought there, and I really believe his agent was in his ear saying, do it now or you're not playing next year. Maybe as a backup somewhere, but not starting. And I think he should have realized that about, oh, what do you think, Evan, maybe a week, 2 weeks after free agency and you didn't have a contract and no teams were calling you, get some common sense. It's New York or bust. And this deal kind of going in the middle of where it was, it makes me scratch my head. And like you said, it's not a coincidence. This could have been done a month ago. They came to terms in the middle, which is the most common ground. You know, Jets wanted to pay 8-9. They wanted 15. Well, he's at 12. He's in the middle. Oh, my God. I guarantee this was facilitated by the agent saying, better do it now. That's my thought. So what are your thoughts, Evan? I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick as an NFL quarterback, are the Jets the only option for him for the rest of his playing career, or do you see him as a guy that teams are going to covet after this year, even if he throws 30 touchdowns again? Do you see Ryan Fitzpatrick all of a sudden being this sought-after quarterback in the NFL?
Patrick, and I know we had this discussion a couple of years back when we first started the network, and we had a gentleman doing some blogging or he contributed a little bit to the network, and he was very high on Fitzpatrick, and I even said it then, he's nothing but a journeyman quarterback. He is not good. I think Fitzpatrick was with the Texans at the time. He's not a good quarterback at all. He's an average quarterback who had some success in New York last year, throwing to the likes of Brandon Marshall and Deck. That's what Fitzpatrick is. He's nothing special. So with that, moving on really quick to baseball news. The Cleveland Indians and the Mets are the two teams that have been talked about a lot with Jonathan Lucroy. Well, the Detroit Tigers name just came up, and the Indians have a very reluctant. The Brewers have a very high asking price for Lucroy. They want a lot in return, and they also want a lot in return for Jeremy Jeffers too. But they want a lot in return for Lucroy, and the Brewers aren't going to settle, and they have no reason to settle. They have the offseason to trade him. They have the first half of next year to trade him. They don't have to trade him right now. But with the Tigers sneaking into the discussions for Lucroy, I think that might up the Indians' asking price. I think the Indians might up their offer to Milwaukee with the Tigers now interested in Lucroy. So I just wanted to throw that out there. The trade deadline is August 1st. Typically, it's July 31st, but with July 31st being a Sunday, they moved it to August 1st. And I'm surprised, Troy, that we have not seen a lot of moves so far after the Chapman trade. I was expecting that to be the first domino in a domino effect of trades and a lot of trades, but we haven't seen it yet. And I'm guessing that there's going to be a lot of deals made Sunday and Monday before the deadline. That's my thought there. And obviously Monday, when we do our show, we will break down any trades that happen over the weekend and on Monday. But what are your thoughts on the quiet trade deadline so far?
Well, I have new perspective, and I think I brought this up maybe a week or so ago when I was listening to the Pirates during a rain delay about trades, and a former GM was on the show. These teams are – the asking price gets so high that you're going to want something of equal value in return because of this qualifying offer at the end of the year if your guy's under club control. And I think it's one thing that I heard about many times, but ever since then I've really been looking into it, Evan, and I'm not saying I became an expert on it by any means, but it's really become interesting to me, and I've been reading a number of articles, and it comes up a lot. And so if teams aren't going to get the same return that they get for a number one draft pick, if the player turns down the qualifying offer, they're in no hurry to push this guy. And I think that might be part of the reason why we're seeing a little lack of trades and the trigger being pulled. Teams are not just reluctant to throw off and, you know, get rid of players with high salary and take little less in return. They want, and if they got a player where they can get to a qualifying offer at the end of the year, if they can't get that same return, which they consider equal to a first-round draft pick, why would they deal them? Why would they deal them at that point if they can't get that return? So good or bad, I mean, you look at it from a player standpoint, I guess it kind of sucks. From a team standpoint, it's a win-win situation. Yeah, I could deal this guy if I get what I want, and if not, we'll hold on to him. Now, in the Brewers' case with Lucroy, there's still another club option on that contract. And I agree with you, Evan. If the Brewers cannot break the bank from the other team for Lucroy, hold on to him. And I guess I'm being a greedy fan right here. But if you can't get the ultimate return for Jonathan Lucroy, then don't do it. Don't pull the trigger right now. Hold steady, because there, in my mind, Evan, you don't have to deal him like you said. Only do it for the best deal. And the more teams that get involved, the better the Brewers will be. Because other teams, they don't know if the Brewers are going to pull the trigger, they're going to hold on to Lucroy. It's awesome. From my standpoint as a fan, it's awesome because they're going to keep driving that asking price up. And if they can't get what they want, it seems like they're just, hey, they're satisfied to just let Lucroy play it out in Milwaukee. And I don't foresee, I really would like to see the long-term deal for Lucroy, because I think he can be part of the rebuild. I think he's got enough time left to do that. But I don't see that happening. I really don't, unfortunately. So I'm with you. It'll be interesting to see if they pull the trigger, but I hope they don't settle. I don't want them to settle and just say, yeah, that's the best, but it isn't really the most we could have got. I want them to get the most out of this deal, Evan. What are your quick thoughts on there before we wrap it up?
So as I was saying, you know, before I throw it back to you, I want them to get the best possible deal out of this. You know, I'm in your camp, so I, you know, do get the right deal. And Stern, a lot of the more quote experienced GMs might be trying to bully him a little bit, But if I'm stern, stand your ground, listen to what I want, don't give up until you get what you want. So that's my final thoughts. I'm going to throw it back to you to wrap the show up so we can go, so we can let the listeners go, and I can get to bed.
Yeah, Evan's got to get to bed. Evan's got to get up early, get on the road to Nashville. And just so everybody knows, tomorrow night I believe I'm going solo. I'm not sure if Evan's going to be able to join me tomorrow night. So it'll be a fun show tomorrow night. If you are listening in, make sure you give me a call. Because listening to myself talk for 30 minutes, Evan, it goes fast and it's not a problem. But, man, I'm sure the fans might get a little bored of my voice for 30 minutes. So if there's any fans that listen live, give me a call tomorrow night. Let's talk sports, Green Bay Packers, NFL, Major League Baseball, trade deadline, whatever you want to do. Evan, have a safe trip tomorrow. If you need to check in with me, feel free to text me, bud. And if you can make the show, great. If not, I will fly solo tomorrow night. I will get back with you on Monday night, and we'll talk about, you know, trade deadlines, trade things that went down, talk a little bit of Packer NFL camp and actually NFL training camp, because all camps should be open at that time. But with that said, everyone, hope you enjoyed the show tonight. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Have a good night, everybody. I'll get back at you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Talk to you soon.